We'll try to jump in fast and get going here. Philippians chapter 3. And we'll focus on the whole chapter, but I want to look at the start of verse 17. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Appreciate you coming today and being faithful. I know you lost an hour of sleep, and I'm glad you came to God's house. Looking for the Lord to speak to us. Verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So he's saying, hey, even in New Testament times, you have people leaving the Lord, and people who backslide, and it's the human condition. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Now this is a phrase and a thought that Paul, it was very serious to him, who mind earthly things. One of his close companions who traveled with him and started churches with him was named Demas. And he said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Who mind earthly things. Verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak, and I pray that we would do what's very difficult for us, but get our mindset right about eternity in this life. And Lord, we need truth. We need wisdom. Lord, I can't do this without you. You've got to speak to hearts. We have people who are great Christians and better than me, and I've got to help them. And we have people who don't know you as Savior, and Lord, they've got to be saved. And people who are discouraged, people who are on topside and need to stay there, people who are under attack, and people who have some tough battles, Father. We have everything in a room like this, and I pray that your Spirit would speak to each one individually and empower and renew our minds, make us to think like you think and speak to us in a great way and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, early in the chapter, talked about all that he had accomplished in the flesh. Now, Paul, a bunch of things, you get clues from all of the Bible about Paul from the book of Acts and his Roman citizenship and how he attained it and from his upbringing and from his education. Paul was educated as a Pharisee, which is a very high education, by a man named Gamaliel, which was basically tutored by the best teacher in the world. Because of that, we know Paul was wealthy. Paul, when he said, I'm a Roman citizen, Jews weren't normally Roman citizens, and they asked, how did you get that? And he said, well, I was freeborn. Having been freeborn, the only way that can usually happen is you do great deeds. Your parents did great deeds in war, or your parents pay off a Roman official to make you Roman citizens. So Paul, from every indication we have, was very wealthy growing up, and of course he's very influential. He was a Pharisee, one of the leaders, and then the government was giving him money to go after the Christians and kill them before he was saved. And so Paul had everything. He had the influence, he had the education, he was like an American, we would say he grew up in a family of doctors, and he went to Yale and Harvard, and was at the top of his company and had everything, and he's very bright and very very talented. And Paul said, "I had the family generations, I had the right tribes that made me very very high because I was of a certain tribe, and I was brought up exactly the right way according to the law." And he talks about all these things, that if anybody could have confidence in the flesh, it's me. But he says in verse 8, at the end of the verse, and have no confidence in the flesh. Verse 4, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath what he might trust in the flesh, I have more. Then he goes into his credentials. And all the things that he had, but verse 7, about all that he had accomplished and all that he had. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Notice it wasn't for religion. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He said there's a person I lost everything for, that's Christ. It's a person. He said, I've suffered the loss of all things. And he's saying, oh, poor me. Now imagine that. Let's just take you. Let's say you lost you had all that education. You had the house. You had the car. You had everything. You lost your car. You lost your house. You lost your degrees. They pulled them from you. You lost your legal standing. Your career was destroyed. That all happened to Paul. He lost his clothing. He lost his health. They beat him. He was scarred for life. He literally lost everything. Now, I don't know if I remember anybody who's lost everything for Christ. Everything? He lost everything. And is he whining about it? No. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Wow. Boy, he had higher things on his mind than the things that we would think of. He says, all these things of flesh don't matter to me. He was living for higher things. He talks about those things, verse 7. But things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. What was he living for? First of all, the knowledge of Jesus. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, in the middle of verse 8. Verse 8 also says that I may win Christ, that he could be close to the Lord and win Christ's approval. To be found in him, verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. He says, be found close to Jesus. When he comes back, when I die, I'm found dwelling and living and pleasing him and close to him. That he might experience the power of the resurrection. He says that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. See, when we die to ourselves, God lives through us and we get this great power, the power of the resurrection in our lives, and it transforms us. To know him, verse 10, I've suffered the loss of all things that I may know him. See, he's saying these things are what I'm living for, knowing Christ, the power of his resurrection, to win Christ, to know Christ. I have suffered the loss of everything and do count them but dung. It does not matter to me. I'm glad. He says, I want to press toward the mark. Verse 14, to get to the mark, to press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God. See, he suffered the loss of all things. He says, I'm pressing toward this thing. I'm living for this thing. And then he goes forward and he says, brothers, follow me in verse 17. And he says, some aren't walking right, but verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. He says, see, I am pressing towards higher things here than the things of the flesh, the things that everybody else cares about. And I'm living for what's bigger than what the world calls success, what the world, and I know the world cares about these things. How big's my house? How big's my yards? What's my 401k? What's my car like? How's my health? What do people think of me? How's my reputation? And people get so tangled up in the things of the world. Paul says, hey, we're in trouble. Don't follow those people. They mind earthly things. But that's not where we are, he says. Look at verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that we might be fashioned like into his glorious body. He says, your body is going to pass away. It's going to be gone. And it will not matter how much money you have in eternity. It will not matter how popular you were, how well you were liked. It will not. The stuff that matters is what you did for eternity. Now, he uses a word that's interesting here. He says, for our conversation is in heaven. But the word conversation there is not what, it's a strange word to use, because the word conversation in the Greek, it's politioma. Politioma. We get politics from it. Okay? What the word means is our community or our citizenship. Our community, our citizenship, our group, our people group is in heaven. Okay? Our political standing. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior and our Lord. We're not minding earthly things. This life is not what matters to us. 2 weeks ago, I guess, Dick Keller's son called me on Monday, or on the morning, on Saturday, I guess, and he said he took a turn for the worse. He's got 1 to 3 days, and so we kind of cleared things out, and I went over there after witnessing time and got in the door, and the his son's girlfriend was crying, and I went to him, and he was sitting holding Dick's hand, and he said, I have not found any vital signs. And so we sat down next to him. I took Dick's hand, and as we sat there, by the time I left, Dick's hand was warm when I started, and it was cold when I left. And he passed into eternity sometime. He lived to be 83, I think he was. And he said to me, I'm ready to go, Pastor. I've had a good, long, happy life. I'm saved. I know where I'm going, he said. Now, of course, we miss him, and everybody misses him. But, you know, right now he's saying, I'm so glad for everything I did for the Lord. We in this earth are consumed with everything in this world. We're so consumed, it's not going to matter in 100 years. It's not going to matter in 50 years for most of us. You know, for a lot of us, or maybe all of us, if Jesus comes back, it's not going to matter in a year. In heaven, they're not going to say, you drove what kind of car? Ooh, that's not going to happen in heaven, okay? They're not going to do that. In heaven, they're going to say, wow, you did what for God? You sacrificed, you won how many souls? But in heaven, you wear your glory of what you've done on earth. Your righteousness is your clothing, and you shine according to what you've done. We're going to wish we did so much more. See, God looks at this earth, and he says, okay, that's just a passing through time. Your citizenship is in heaven. This is just your passing through. We sang earlier, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We should not be minding earthly things. Don't get too attached. By the way, don't get too down if the world's messed up. Which it usually is. Don't get too down because something's wrong with the world. Listen, the more messed up the world gets, just means the closer we are to Jesus coming back. This world is going to pass away. We already know the future of the world. We know what the Bible says what's going to happen, and everything the Bible's ever said has happened. It's all happening according to plan, okay? The good thing is we have complete security because this world's really not our home. This world's not really our home. Your conversation is in heaven. Don't get too attached to a world you're just passing through. Let me show you a good verse in this, and we'll get back to that later. But Hebrews 13. See, Paul was living for higher things. He was not minding earthly things, and he gladly lost everything that he can live for a continuing place. Hebrews 13:14, we'll just read that one verse, and we'll be back here a little later. It says, for here we have no continuing city, but seek one to come. Now let me take you to 1 Peter. 1 Peter and verse 17 says, and if ye call on the Father who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here with fear. The word sojourning means pilgrimage. We'll get to that in just a sec. Now go to chapter 2 and verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having a conversation honest among the Gentiles. It says, as strangers and pilgrims. Let me tell you what these words mean. The word stranger means having a home near, a visitor. So you walk down the end of your street, turn left, go walk down to the next house and go in the house. You are a biblical stranger in that house. You have a home nearby, but you're just visiting that house. It's not your house. The word pilgrim is a farther away word. The word pilgrim means a foreign resident. So pass your timing here on earth as strangers and pilgrims on this planet. And do not mind the earthly things. And there's illustrations in the Bible. Israel, when they're passing through the lands to go to the Canaan, they were called strangers in the land. And they said, can we just pass through and buy stuff from you? And we're just going to pass through your land. We'll trade with you, but we're going somewhere else. That's what the phrase is for us. Okay? And then Abraham, when he was in the land in Genesis in chapter 23 and verse 4, he says this, I'm just a pilgrim among you. But can I borrow can I buy from you a piece of land to bury my family in? Because this isn't really my land. Because he said, this is not where I am. This is just something I'm passing through. And the Bible says, think in a sense of being a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. Now, that's a little different than we think, isn't it? We're passing through. Now, we have to trade. We have to work. We have to pay our bills. And all that's part of it. And that's life. And that's fine. The Bible deals with that and says we should do that. However, realize it's just a temporary thing. We're just here passing through. We're just picking up our treasure on the way home. That's all we're doing. And that's what we're supposed to be doing in these situations. Have you ever went somewhere and said, I am so glad I don't have to stay here? You ever been in a house and you say, I am so glad I'm leaving. Amen. Thanksgiving can't get away. You ever been somewhere where you're just going, how do they live like? Well, oh man, I'm glad I'm living. I'm glad I'm leaving. I've had that happen so many times. I've been visiting people here and around the world for a long time, for 28 years. I remember being in Chicago, and I'd go into the projects, and in the projects, boy, some of the people lived in such squalor. They'd invite me in, and I'd go in the house, and I would just say, how do you live like this? And I didn't grow up real good, but it was nothing like the Cabrini Greens. And I look around and say, man, I'm glad I'm going back to the dorms. Boy, I never thought I'd say that. But it was just temporary. I was in a house on the field one time in a third world country, and I was going to stay a couple nights in this house. I mean, way out in the middle of nowhere. And they said, there's no power. And they said, the shower's over there. And so I went in there, and the shower was a 50-gallon drum with a pan inside. And that was your shower. And they said, you can take a shower whenever. And I looked, and there was the house, but the house didn't quite get completed. There's about this big a gap right in the middle of the shower going right up to the road. And I looked, and they said, oh, don't worry, nobody looks. I said, well, I'll just take a shower tonight. Is that okay? And I remember laying there in the bed. They didn't really have a bed for me, so they put a bunch of clothes underneath the sheet, and that was my bed for the night. And I took my bucket bath. And I said, you know, I'll do this for a couple of days. I'm fine with it. It's an adventure. It's all good. But I don't mind indoor plumbing. It's a good thing. And you can turn it on and it gets hot even. Ooh. And you're living it up. And all of us who went in the field, they all went through that and did that. And we got to let them experience. I'm not going to experience this stuff alone. But they'll get, why? You know what? I don't mind that. I can live with that. I'm just glad I don't have to live with that every day. I'm glad that I live in a home with all those things. And when the kids don't take too long as a bath, I get a hot bath. And every once in a while, which doesn't happen very often, but occasionally I get some heat. Not that my kids take very long baths and use all the hot water before me, but we look at that and I say, you go to some house. You ever go into a house that's a lot of strife? And you say, man, I'm glad I'm just here for a party. Happy birthday to sing fast. And why? Because you're glad you're not staying there. You're just a pilgrim. I go to a hot country. I don't like heat, but I really don't like humidity. And everywhere I go in the third world, it's humid. And not everywhere, almost everywhere I go. And I go there and I get out of the airport and I go, there is no air in this country. And you're immediately sweating. You ever been in high humidity? Ugh. I can handle dry heat. I can handle cold. But humidity. And I get out and I say, I'm going to be in this country for 2 weeks. We're going to work hard, have a great time, and I'm leaving. Because I don't like living in this humidity. That's the way we think of this world. This world, it's okay. I'm here for a little while. I'll do what I have to do, but you know what? I'm going home. I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just visiting. I'm just passing through. The title of the sermon is just passing through. Passing through. Be a pilgrim. I've had cars where I was fine to drive that car for a while, but it was just a get-me-by car. and it had everything wrong with it. I bought one car, $125, had no exhaust, didn't have the catalytic converters. You talk about loud. Everywhere you went. Oh, it was a piece of junk. And it was so beat up and it was so nasty. But you know what? It got me point A to point B. And I knew I was just keeping it until it died. And it lasted me about 3 months. But you know, it was just temporary. You don't get too upset if you're not too attached to it. You know what I mean? It's okay. If it lasts, it lasts. If it doesn't, it doesn't. That's this world. This world has some good things and you enjoy it, but it's not your life. Biblically, God thinks a little differently. He thinks we're already there in essence. I'm going to look at Ephesians chapter 2. God thinks he considers us already in heaven. It's already our home. We already have a reservation in heaven. It's already taken care of. We already have a mansion in heaven. Remember Jesus had to go to prepare a place for you? He's preparing it before they got there. You know, if you're saved, you already have a mansion in heaven. It's not like you'll get it when you get there. Jesus is already preparing it. You're just deciding how many additions get put on it by how you live. You get more treasure. But God says, hey, this is your home. You're just hanging out there for a while, but come home. When it's time, you're going to come home. And that's a different way of thinking we've got to get in our mind. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we're already sitting there in heavenly places. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 19, now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and in the household of God. You see how this is all over the Bible? Heaven's your home. You're a citizen of heaven. Now, I'm an American citizen. That's fine. But you know what? I'm just as much a citizen of heaven. And that's my home also. And this is where my temporary citizenship is, but I'm going to be in my permanent citizenship in heaven. Because we're saved. Passing through this world is a constant Bible mindset. Israel was like that till they got to Canaan, which is a symbol of the victorious Christian life. Paul was like that. Jesus was like this. They said, no, you're not going to go to the cross. He says, yes, I'm going to the cross. This is the purpose I came. And I'll get glory back with my Father in heaven. I just came here to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm here for a purpose for a time. You're here for a time, for a purpose, but this is not your permanent home. Don't get too excited about anything here. Don't get too low if things don't go right. This is just where you're here for a little while. Your lease is going to be up. Then you'll get your home you're going to live in. Your car is just a temporary car. It's just a rental. Go ahead and trash it. No, don't do that. The car is just a temporary car. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Can I tell you? You can live for this world, and the world will give you some pleasures. The pleasure of sin lasts for a season. You can do that. But understand, it's a very short period on the scale of eternity. And what you do in this life determines how rich you are and how blessed you are in eternity. Or how cursed you are. And if you live for this temporary world, which steals all of our affection and makes us live so much forward, we get so attached to it, you're living for just an earthly thing that's going to pass away. For the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And yes, be responsible in this world. It does not mean you slack off and you go move on a hilltop and you sit and wait for Jesus to come. No, the Bible says, occupy till I come. You pay your bills. You work hard. You have high character. You do everything right. You be a good citizen. You do everything responsible you're supposed to do. Yet you know you're doing it as a temporary citizen. This is a temporary job to get me through college. I'm starting my career sometime. Don't be too upset if your temporary job's a junky job. How many had a temporary junky job you just had to work for a while, and you know what? You weren't too upset because you knew it was just temporary. Yeah. And then you're that's okay. That's this life. You have to live it. You're going to be in this world. World's going to have ups and downs. Don't get too upset. Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. John 14. Israel was like that. Let me take you some more verses that say this. Hebrews. Again, a lot of Bible here on this. This because I'm showing you how much the Bible says think this way. Hebrews 10. Verse 34. For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which is a great recompense and reward. Remember, don't worry about this world too much. You have an enduring substance in heaven. It's going to last forever. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and with them for the same purpose. Down to verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims, there's those two words again, in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Notice that? They weren't mindful of their old country. They're going to a new country. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Pretty clear there. One more verse right here nearby, Colossians. I got a couple more verses and it'll be... we'll be done here. Colossians and chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. Listen, it's all about putting your affection and your desire. But this world, all of us, myself included, it grabs our affection. It consumes us. If your car is breaking, if your house is not, if you're behind in your mortgage, if you can't pay your rent, it just seems like that's all that's on your mind. But that is not God's design. As a matter of fact, we don't like our feet dangling on anything. We like everything in this earth to be stable and settled and right. But it isn't always like that in this earth. If you do not set your affection on things above, you will not have the security and peace that God intends for us to have. You don't worry too much when you start, because heaven's not messed up. Heaven's not changing. Heaven's not going to have terrorist attacks. Heaven's not going to have financial crises. This world will. And by the way, I want to say this. America is not as secure as you think it is. We cannot let this world affect us too much because it's not really our home. If you rented a house and the owner said, you know, you're just going to be in this for a little while, I'll let you rent it, but it's, I know it's falling apart. It's not a very good house, but, you know, I'll let you have the rent for $100 a month just to occupy it for a while. Listen, you wouldn't get too stressed out whenever there's a problem with the house. It's not your house. You're not in it very long. And we should not, first of all, get too down, but we should set our affection on things above, and we should be fine because heaven's fine. If heaven's still okay, and if we're still got a mansion, we're still going to get perfect bodies, and we're still going to be in fullness of joy and in pleasures forevermore, and all that's still there, you know what? We're just fine no matter what's going on around us. One of the things has been that people notice the most when they go overseas with me is one of the things they say is, why are these people happier than us? Why are people in the third world who live in shacks happier? Why are the kids in the third world happier than the bratty American kids who have every game and toy? They're running around barefoot on a gravel parking lot playing soccer everywhere you go in the world. Soccer, soccer, soccer. They haven't learned the beauty of football yet. Real football, not their football. And they play soccer. And these kids are smiling and having fun, and they're skinny and hungry and on a dirty lot. And all of our third world, all the people from overseas, all the people who've been overseas, you're all nodding your head and laughing about it because they are. And you see some bratty kid in America with his Game Boy and his iPod and his iPad and his I this and I that, and he's going... grumpy, unhappy? Because things don't make you happy. And this world doesn't, it gives you temporary happiness, then you find the emptiness that only Jesus can fulfill. And you get too attached to this world. Listen, heaven's good, and it's there and eternal, and you'll never have another pain and sorrow. It's better than paradise. God got rid of paradise to make heaven, by the way, in the Bible. Okay? It's perfection forever, and no more troubles, no more tears, and no more death, and no more sorrow, for the former things are passed away. It's going to be okay. But if you want to live for this temporary world, if you want to live for that junky house that you're in for a month and have your whole life ruined because the house is junky and not look forward to your mansion that's getting built, you're going to miss out. And you won't be a very good Christian. Now let me say, this whole church is based on this. I was talking to pastors, getting some counsel about our building situation yesterday, and a man with a lot of experience, stuff like that. And this is a man with a nice building who is very traditional in buildings and has a mortgage and has a building and has a lot of stuff. And he said, you know, I think it's getting to where churches, and I've said this to you already, where churches should just rent buildings, not buy them. He said, you know, now if you buy a building you need, you'd pay $1.5 million and have a $11,000 mortgage, $12,000 mortgage every month. And you can rent a building for $3,000 or $4,000. And the only difference is you say, I own it. And you know, I just told him, see, Open Doors run different than most churches. We have a complete different emphasis. We are not, and right or wrong, we are not focused on Open Door all the time. We don't care that much about a building. We don't care that much about how fancy we are. We don't, and our money, a lot of it goes overseas. A lot of it goes to people who are struggling. Listen, we might not have a building, but I can tell you a bunch of buildings around the world that there are that we got for them. And because I can buy a building in the Philippines for $600. We can put a roof on a building in Haiti for $1,000. We can go and help build an orphanage or feed some kids for, and in America, listen, I'm not that interested. And so our church might be a pilgrim church and it might not have we may never have a building. We might move around. We might not have the nicest buildings. It's just, we aren't minding that stuff. We have nice things, praise the Lord, and we're okay. We're fancy enough, I guess. I don't know. People tell me the church is pretty fancy, and I don't know. We don't got a Starbucks in the church, so I guess we're nothing. But you know, I mean, but you know what? We might always be in this. Where are we going next thing? It's just what we are. But I think in heaven we probably got a lot of treasure racked up because of it. I think it just, you know, we find a pastor who's having medical issues and we send him money. We find some church who can't afford to pay for something and we send them money. Our church is not thinking about this world and this time period and our building and what we want and all we have. Listen, we are here to build a kingdom of God. Amen. And so, we're having a hard time finding the building. I'm not worried about it. God sees that. God's made us that way. Listen, there are people who are in a building right now, many of them around the world, because we've invested in them. We'll just tough it out and figure it out. And if we're in a junky building, we're in a junky building. I hope you aren't too attached to buildings, because I don't know where we'll be. But I'm not worried about it. This is not my life permanently. Jesus might come back next week. We might never have to move. this isn't our, we aren't focused on this life and all that we have and all our security that we love to have. We love to have everything figured out ahead of time and to be secure and be solid and have enough money for anything that happens and everything like that. But you know what? Not just getting a little too attached. I believe in being, getting prepared. I'm a stable person. I have a house, and I'll probably live in the house till I die. But listen, if God needs me to move to Timbuktu next week, I can give up that house real easy. I can live in a mud hut. Well, I like it as much as my house. I'll have just as much warm water. Will I love it that much? I like my house, but it's not my permanent home. You understand that? Your house is not your permanent home. Some of you are glad about that. But I want to say, we're just passing through. You're on vacation. If the sink breaks in the hotel room, I can go to another room. This world is not our home. We're seeking a better city. Things are going to go wrong. That's fine. It's a messed up, sin-cursed world. The Bible says it's going to be like that. We know it's going to be like that. The Bible says, man, everybody says, why is this world so messed up? There's a God. God said it'd be like that. He told them, if you do this, this is going to happen. This is what happened, and God kept his word. That's why it's like that. But he said, I'm going to fix it all someday. But people will live for that which lasts for a little blip of time when there's trillions of years in eternity. Listen, do not park here in this world. One more verse. And we'll talk, just tell a little story. 1 Peter chapter 1. Make your reservation in your permanent home. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You get saved, you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and your home in heaven is reserved, your permanent dwelling place. But it only comes through Jesus Christ and accepting him as Savior. Nothing else will get you there. You cannot get to heaven any other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is this big cruise ship, and everybody gets on it, all the people. And they're going to be taken to land, and there's going to be a permanent home for each of them there. But on this boat, everybody's given a certain amount of money. And they all take their money, and it's a pretty good amount of money. And it could be spent to go buy a permanent home when they get there, or they can spend it all on the boat. And there's a lot of fun things in the boat. It's got a casino for people who can't do math. And they've got all kinds of fun things. And they've got toys, and they got fancy food. And they even got, you can even build your own master suite on that boat with your money if you want. Whatever you want to spend it on. Boy, there's certain people who say, you know, I'm going to save my money and just live and go through this thing and buy the food I have to buy and live in the third quarter down below the third deck and I'll just live there and get by and make it through and you know what? Save my money for my permanent home. But there's certain people who get really attached to that boat and they start building things and they spend all their money on fancy meals and they start eating lobster and people say, what are you doing? We're not on this boat permanently. They said, no, this boat, look around, this is where I am right now. I've got to live for this. And they start building big, have people do construction and build them on certain decks, big master suites and all the fancy things. And nobody knows how long the thing's going to last. Except for they know it's short. Oh, it's pretty soon, after just a month or two, they see shore. And the people who spent all their money said, well, what am I going to do now? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? The people who are wise and the people who just said, I'm just passing through it, this is just temporary, and they saved what they had, they go on land and they get a mansion and they buy and they get wealth and they get great things and they have a wonderful life with a beautiful view. And the other ones are paupers, living in shacks, begging for food forever. Only one was happy for a month and one will be happy for 50 years. Extend that out to eternity and say, I'm just passing through this world. I'm not going to get too attached. Everything's just fine. Man, I got some problems. Boy, I'm struggling. I got some struggles. Boy, I don't have much down here. God told you to give some extra away. Whatever it is, you just say, it's okay, though, because I'm not even home right now. I'm just passing through here. I'm just driving across country. My home's back there. Doesn't matter much. I got a home. I got a car. I got everything back home. It's just temporary stuff. It's just a rental. That's all. Don't get too attached. Set your affection on things above. Paul said, I lost all things, but I don't mind earthly things anyway. I'm a pilgrim and stranger. I'm going to be out of here pretty quick. So I'm not too worried about it. I'm living for what matters. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful, Lord, for the promises of eternity and how clear your word says it. And Lord, we have business. You said occupy till you come, but we have things to do here, Father, and we know that. But Lord, we really have got to not mind earthly things. We can't love the world. We got to realize this is all just passing through stuff and temporary and not get so attached, Father. It's very hard, though. Boy, the advertisement and the flashing lights and everything looks fun. And takes our money and takes our mind and takes our effort and takes our priorities. Father, help us to seek first the kingdom of God and just realize we're passing through. And if things are bad, that's okay. Heaven's our home and it's going to get better. If our bodies are having some troubles, we get a new one in heaven. If our home has some problems, we get a mansion up there. Lord, may we just be dedicated to lose all things if necessary to gain Christ, to live for what matters, to gain that which we cannot lose. Father, help us to live this way. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, just briefly.